Hello, and welcome to the Brothers of Tamriel podcast. I'm your host, Jay Rumberg, and I'm joined here by my brother, Mission Maniac. Here we will be covering all the basics of Elder Scrolls Online. We're going to talk anything from news to dungeon mechanics and even builds. We're going to cover everything from the beginner level to the veteran level and everything in between. So this will give you a good solid foundation of the understanding of the game. Hopefully this will help you succeed a little better. Sit back, relax, and enjoy while we delve into the world of Nern. Oh man, welcome back. It's been a long week in Hrothgar, folks.
Oh yeah. How you doing, brother man?
I'm doing all right. Just made it through VMA last night, looking for my staves that I need, and of course, didn't get shit.
That was your first VMA clear, right?
That was, yes.
All right, congrats!
Yeah, I'm rocking the polymorph as of right now, just to kind of... It looks kind of cool, the Baron polymorph. It looks pretty dope. I'm not going to run it forever. I'm just... Just for a couple days, I'm going to run it, just to show it off a little bit.
Oh, yeah. Better make sure you put that title up, too.
See, I'm more of a
Stormproof
PvP
baby.
Kind of title guy.
PvP.
Well, anyways, my name is Jay Rumberg. Let's get right into it. My co-host here is my older brother, Mission Maniac. And before we get started, we got some shout-outs to make. We got to thank a lot of people for all the support. Lore Seekers, Tales of Tamriel, thank you guys so much for all the attention we've been getting on Twitter. Lotus of Doom and the Wanderers of Tamriel, you guys, Lotus of Doom, you've helped us out a bunch. You've really shown us a lot of support, and we really do appreciate it. We're so grateful for all the attention that you guys have been putting out.
Yeah, absolutely. Just big time. I mean, our first episode was not that great. We had some audio issues, but the patience and the just welcoming you guys have given us is outstanding. So hopefully the second episode sounds a lot better. I think we got our bugs figured out a little bit for the most part.
Yeah, we're using I'm using a different recording software right now, so hopefully it all sounds all right for you guys.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yeah, I guess let's go ahead. We got a little bit of a show to do.
All right.
This is the Brothers of Tamriel podcast.
Welcome.
And J-Rum's going to kick this off with the news.
Here we go. So jumping into the news and patch notes, well, last week we covered the Orsinium event and the ESO Live, the free ESO Plus membership the trial that you could partake in. That's if you're not subbed. And I know there are a lot of people out there that like to sub for a period of time, like when it's free, and load up their craft bag from their bank. Because once that ESO Plus membership, once it lapses, you don't lose all the stuff in your crafting bag. You just can't put anything else in there. So it's kind of a nice way to clear out your inventory a little bit, and it's a good way to save some money if that's the route you want to take. But if you're like Mission and myself, where you're 1,000% addicted to this game, then...
Oh, yeah.
You will always have ESO Plus.
Mm-hmm. I'll take loans out for this game if I have to.
I'm working on a second mortgage for it right now. Anyways, so we got Scalebreaker DLC Game Pack and Update 23. It's live on PC and Mac right now. Not on console yet, guys. We're right around the corner for it, though. So
jelly.
Continue your Season of the Dragon adventure with Scalebreaker, a new dungeon DLC pack for the Elder Scrolls Online. Discover two new stories that tie into the events of ESO elsewhere and the free Update 23 base game patch, which is going to be fantastic. Play on console? Hey, don't worry. You can continue the fight yourself when Scalebreaker launches It's going to launch on PS4 and Xbox One on August 27th, folks, which is right around the corner.
10 days. 10 days.
Yep, that's from the recording of this episode. So the DLC Dungeon Pack and Update 23 is going to bring some new exciting adventures and improvements to Elder Scrolls. And here's what we're looking at here. Two new Season of the Dragon dungeons, which is going to be the Lair of Marsalok and Moongrave Fane. From what I hear, lots of fun. I guess you get your next Lunar Hall of the Lunar Champion tablet. That's how you're going to get them, by completing them. And you don't have to complete them on Vet. You can just complete them on Normal, and you'll still get the tablet. So that'll open up the next wing of that house for you guys. We're going to get some new sets here, too. We're getting 8 new item sets and 5 new collectibles. We're getting an update to the Undaunted keys. So it's going to... Your keys are no longer going to take up your inventory space. They're going to go right into your currency. So that'll be kind of nice, and you can utilize them between different characters, I think. From what I understand, it's going to be account-wide, not character-wide, so we'll see, though, on the 27th for us, since we're on console. Maybe.
Yeah, I'm not 100% sure on that. I haven't heard anything if the keys are going to go, if they're going to remain character-bound, but move to the currency, or if it's just account-bound.
Right.
Oh man, that'd be amazing if it's account bound. That way, when you run out of keys on one character, you don't have to swap to another character to go get more keys.
Oh, I know. That's just such a headache to do.
No, yeah. Swapping characters when you, whatever, you know, you leave a piece of gear on one character, so you gotta log out, log back in, log out, log back in.
That's the worst, and I do it all the time because I share sets on different characters, so it's like... Oop, I forgot some greaves on this character. Got better hop over there again.
Yeah, I do the exact same thing, because I just, once I get one set, for example, Reliquent, you know, I farmed an all divine set. Well, I've got 3 stamina tunes, and I've only got 1 Reliquent set.
Yeah, exactly. So you got to share that set between all of them.
Yep.
So going back to the Scalebreaker DLC game pack, the dragons are free, folks. They're free from the halls of the Colossus, and now you must deal with the fallout of their release. While these stories are part of the year-long saga, you can enjoy both without having completed either of the year's earlier content, so that means that there's no prerequisite. You can just hop right in there whenever you guys want, as soon as August 27th rolls around for us console guys. So, we're going to talk about a little bit about the Lair of Marsalok here. For centuries, Marsalok, who is a dragon, by the way, I'm sure you guys figured that out, Marsalok slept deep in the mountains between Elsewhere and Grotwood. However, upon the opening of the Halls of Colossus, this monstrous dragon has awoken and now threatens to spread his corruption into the domain of the Wood Elves. So this is kind of cool. It's going to be a very Grotwood themed dungeon, so it's going to look a little more foresty, a little more woodlandy, so I'm really excited to see what that looks like. Only with the help of the warlock Carindon and the forest spirit Selene can you defeat this terrifying new dragon. That's right, folks, we're seeing Carindon and Selene. We're seeing them again. They're coming back. That pretty much covers... That's the gist of Lair of Marsalok. The next dungeon we're getting is Moongrave Fane. Hidden within a fallen Khajiit temple, the vampires of Hollow Fane prepare to perform a terrible ritual. Joined by the former Dragon Guard Grundwolf, they wish to drain the blood from a captured dragon. Can you imagine that? Can you imagine a vampire sucking the blood out of a dragon and then gaining its power? That's like...
It reminds me of the Emperor's New Groove. I can see him down there draining the blood out of a dragon. Feel the power!
Oh, I feel the power. So you and your team must fight your way into the fallen ruin and put a stop to their plan before it's too late. Both dungeons, like I said, they can be attempted in normal and veteran difficulties, with a veteran hard mode option available for those looking for a challenge, like you should be. Always challenge yourself in this game, that's how you get better.
You can't get better if you don't challenge yourself. You hit a plateau, the only way to get through is to climb over it.
That's right. Brave delvers can discover new rewards up for grabs in both dungeons, including new item sets, achievements, collectibles, and more. And this is kind of what I was touching on earlier. Finally, you can earn a unique tablet collectible by completing both dungeons either on normal or on veteran. And this is going to allow you to unlock an additional wing within the Hall of the Lunar Champion. Don't forget, you can unlock the free Hall of the Lunar Champion by completing the Elsewhere chapter's main story quest. It's titled Two Queens. The third and final tablet required to completely unlock the mansion will be available with the upcoming Dragonhold DLC, so stay tuned for that. For more information, you guys can check out the previews on both the Lair of Marsalok and Moongrave Fane. Here are some of the purchase details. This Scalebreaker DLC game pack is free for all of us ESO Plus members, and available for purchase for 1,500 crowns from the in-game crown store. It's going to be listed under DLC. Note that if you are ESO Plus members, if it lapses, you will lose access to the DLC dungeons until you renew or purchase the DLC with crowns. You won't lose any items, though, or rewards that you've earned while you had access. So this is also going to be coming with the Collector's Bundle, Scalebreaker Collector's Bundle. It's available for 4,000 crowns, and this is going to include access to the DLC game pack. It's going to include the Ancient Dragon Hunter Horse mount, which I'm not personally really a horse guy, but, you know, some to each their own. So it's also coming with the Ancient Dragon Hunter Wolf Pet, and also 5 Crown Experience Scrolls. You can find and purchase this collector's bundle from the featured section in the in-game crown store. So, after you gain access to the Scalebreaker dungeons, you can explore the Lair of Marsalok or Moongrave Fane by the following methods. You can either teleport directly into the two dungeons from your map. You could use the Dungeon Finder tool, which hopefully that gets hammered out a little bit better, so make it a little smoother. Or you can just simply walk up to the dungeon entrances in Grotwood for the Lair of Marsalok and in Northern Elsewhere for Moongrave Fane. Upon entering one of the two new dungeons, you shall receive Dread Orlean Mask completely free. So as soon as you walk in there, you guys are going to get a free hat. So that's kind of nice. Moving on to the update 23, these are some quality of life improvements. In addition to the DLC game pack, we've also launched update 23. It's going to be a free base game patch for all ESO players. This update brings a host of new fixes, ability changes, and improvements to some of the game's core elements, including crafting, guild trading, Guild Traders, and the Undaunted keys and stuff. And these are going to be, the Undaunted guys are basically going to turn into your merchants. So, Undaunted keys are now a currency and no longer stored within your inventory, making them easier to manage. In addition to this, you can now trade your Undaunted keys to the 3 Undaunted dungeon quest givers to receive reward coffers. If you choose, you can spend more keys on specific coffers that give you a better chance at receiving the monster shoulders that you want. The next thing we're getting is multi-crafting. This update also implements an improvement to the crafting system, allowing you to craft, deconstruct, extract, and refine multiple items all at once. You no longer have to sit there and spam X for Xbox and probably Square for PS4. You don't have to sit there and spam that anymore. You just put in the number you want to refine, deconstruct, extract, or craft, and then boom, you got it.
You know, that's a really nice ad that they're putting in here, because I don't know how many times, like trying to get Zahn's shoulders, I don't even know how many times I got that. I went through, you know, 10, 15 keys trying to get it, and you get every other dungeon in that Dragon Bones section that is, or not even just Dragon Bones, but just from, who is it, Urgalog? Yeah, Urgalog's got all the DLC ones. You get every shoulder piece, and you go through 15, 20 keys, and you never get the one you're actually looking for, yeah. Or you get one, and it's got just a really bad trait on it. So then you gotta waste, you're wasting your keys, but now you gotta spend transmute crystal. So this touch that they're putting in there and letting us basically, not necessarily individually choose a shoulder that we're trying to get, but slim it down, you know, make our odds a little bit better.
Oh yeah, definitely. I am a huge fan of this new implement that they're gonna be doing here.
Absolutely.
So the next thing we're getting is the Guild Trader multi-bidding. This is for all you dungeon, or for you guild masters out there. Finally, update 23 also introduces multi-bidding for Guild Trader locations. Guild leaders can now bid on more than one trader each week. This change reduces the chance of missing a Guild Trader location each week and allows you to assign priority to the different locations based on how much you bid on each one. Don't worry, when you win a location, all other bids are refunded. So that's kind of nice. I think you can bid on up to 10 locations, and whatever, if you get a location, all the money will go right back into your guild bank. So that's kind of nice. The Season of the Dragon continues with Scalebreaker as Tamriel reels from the openings of the Halls of Colossus. Are you ready and willing to enter Moongrave Fane or the lair of Marsalok to deal with the threats within? New stories await. Let us know if you'll be jumping into the two new dungeons or checking out the update 23 improvements on Twitter. We want to hear from you guys. You let us know what you guys think. I know some.
Yeah, I'm super pumped for this.
Some of you guys are on PC or Mac, and so you guys already have the inside scoop. So yeah, we want to hear from you guys. What do you think? Do you like it? Do you not like it? What are your thoughts? So that pretty much covers the new update and the Scalebreaker DLC here. We're talking about the Magicka Nightblade. I'm going to cover some passives here. I'm just going to cover all the passives. And then Mission's going to take over and he'll cover the actives. So, stepping right into the passives, the first skill line that we got, as you guys know, each class has three skill lines. For the Nightblade, we have Assassination, we have Shadow, and we have Siphoning. So the Assassination passives starts with Master Assassin, and this is going to increase your weapon and spell damage by 10% while you are sneaking or invisible. The duration of the stun from sneak will be increased by 100%, so that is really, really nice. And you'll notice once, if you check your weapon or spell damage while you're just standing there versus while you're sneaking or invisible, you'll see a big change. Next passive is Executioner, and this is all these passives are assuming that you have both skill points within the passive. So this is the high end of the passives here. So when an enemy dies within 2 seconds, this is for Executioner, when it dies within 2 seconds of being damaged by one of your assassination abilities, you will restore 1876 Magicka or Stamina, whichever maximum is higher. Moving on to Pressure Points. This is going to increase your weapon and spell critical ratings by 438 for each assassination ability slotted. So this is pretty nice, because I put this in tandem with my Nightblade, my Magicka Nightblade. I use a Khajiit, and they get a little something, they get a little buff to their crit, so this gives me some good crit right here. Next passive is Hemorrhage. This increases your critical damage by 10%. So there again, we're getting more crit buffs. Dealing critical damage grants you and your group minor savagery, which is going to increase your weapon crit rating by 1320 for 20 seconds. So there's your minor savagery right there, folks. And you can pair that with major savagery and get a good, not really nice crit rating. Moving on, we're gonna get into the shadow line, shadow passives. First one up is Refreshing Shadows. And this one just straight up increases your health, stamina, and magicka recovery by 15%. And that's pretty nice. That's some good sustain that it's gonna help you out with. Next one we have is Shadow Barrier. Casting a shadow ability grants you Major Resolve and Major Ward for 6 seconds, increasing your physical and spell resistance by 5,280. And this duration is increased by 25% for each piece of heavy armor you have equipped. So a lot of times Nightblades will tend to run medium armor, but here's an incentive for you to run some heavy armor. Just throw some heavy armor on there. Next passive up is Dark Vigor. This increases your max health by 3% for each shadow ability slotted. So that's kind of nice. It gives you a little extra health. And you're most likely, you better have some shadow abilities slotted on your Nightblade. That's kind of their claim to fame. Next passive up is Dark Veil. This increases the duration of your shadow abilities by 2 seconds. So that's pretty nice for all your active, your shadow actives. That'll just increase them by 2 seconds. So moving on to the Siphoning skill line, the first passive we have up is Catalyst. After drinking a potion, you gain 20 ultimate. So that's a pretty good way to just, you know, you pop a potion, you got 20 ultimate, bam. Makes you, if you can use your ultimates more often, you're gonna do better out there in the field. Next one up is Magicka Flood. This increases your max magicka by 8% while a siphoning ability is slotted. So make sure you guys have a siphoning ability slotted, because that 8% increase to your magicka is pretty nice. Next passive up is Soul Siphoner. This increases your healing done by 3% for each siphoning ability slotted. So again, make sure you guys got some siphoning abilities slotted, because this is going to increase your healing done. Next one up is Transfer, and this is the last one in the siphoning skill line. Casting a siphoning ability generates 2 ultimate. This effect can occur once every 4 seconds. So that's, again, that's a great way to keep your ultimate coming up for you. And speaking of ultimates, I'm gonna touch base on some of these ultimates. Again, we're just talking about the magicka side of things. So for the assassination ultimate, we have Soul Harvest. And you have 2 morphs of this, either Incapacitating Strike or you have Soul Harvest. Incapacitating Strike, you will ravage an enemy with a swift strike dealing 10,000. Well, and this number varies based totally on your skills, your inventory, based totally on your character's setup. So this is not a set in stone number. This is just what my Nightblade has right now, and I don't even think she has much gear or anything on her right now, because there again, I share sets, so she might not even have any armor on her. So you're going to do lots of disease damage, causing them to take 20% more damage from your attacks for 6 seconds. So that is pretty nice. Get a little extra damage buff there. And then if you cast with 120 or more ultimate, the enemy gets silenced for 3 seconds. That is huge. Anytime you silence people, jump on that. So you want to save that ultimate until it's above 120, and then use that. And then just while having this slotted, you gain Reave, which restores 85 magicka and stamina when you deal damage with a light or heavy attack on an enemy with a negative effect active on them, which is in PvP, that's going to be pretty much all the time. Next morph is called Soul Harvest. The difference here is that it's also going to afflict the enemy with Major Defile, which is going to reduce their healing received. And it's going to reduce their healing received and their health recovery by 30%. And then just while having it slotted, anytime you kill an enemy, you gain 7 ultimate. There again, we're gaining more and more ultimate from this Nightblade. And just within these skills and these passives and stuff. The next ultimate we're going to be talking about is the Shadow Ultimate, which is called Consuming Darkness. This is you conjure a ring of shadow, reducing the movement speed of enemies by 70%, which is huge. Like, I've dumped it on some people and they can barely walk after this. And it also grants you and your allies major protection, which reduces damage taken by 30%. That is huge. That's kind of the speed, the decrease to speed and the reduction of damage taken is really, really nice with this ultimate. And allies in the area can activate the Hidden Refresh synergy, granting them invisibility and increasing their movement speed by 70%. And it will also heal them for 23,000 health over 4 seconds. And again, that number isn't set in stone. It could be different based on your armor and stuff like that and your champion points.
That's a pretty heavy heal.
Oh, yeah.
I never noticed that before.
Yep, over 4 seconds, too. So
it's 23,000 in 4 seconds. That's what is that? That's over 7K a second.
Yeah, those ticks... you don't die when that is dumped.
Or no, it's over 6K per second. But yeah, that's a hefty heal.
Oh yeah, that's a nice one. Now we're gonna move on to the siphoning ultimate, which is called Soul Shred. Ravage nearby enemies' souls with a Night Rune, dealing magic damage and stunning them for 4 seconds. This is a huge stun. 4 second stun is enormous. So. This is why I really like this ultimate. Is just for
that's a death in PvP.
Oh yeah, yeah. If you can't do anything, like if you put that in tandem with that silence, if they're silenced and stunned, can't do shit. Like that is the way to go. That's how you knock them down. An ally can target a ravaged enemy and activate the Soul Leech synergy, and this deals 9,000 magic damage to them. And healing for the damage caused. So however much damage you're going to be doing with Soul Leech as the synergy, you're going to heal for that much too, just instantly. So if you deal 10,000 damage, you're healing for 10,000. First morph up is Soul Siphon. The new effect of this is it heals you and your allies instead of damaging and stunning the enemies. So what it does is you and your allies will also receive major vitality, increasing your healing received by 30% for 4 seconds. The sanctify your souls and the souls of nearby enemies with a Night Rune, healing for 8,000 health and an additional 22,000 health over 4 seconds. Again, that's a big fat heal right there just from another ultimate like that. And with the Nightblade, you're going to be gaining ultimate. You're getting ultimate gain from everywhere.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, the Nightblade. And not only that, like, I don't think the Nightblade actually has expensive ultimates. I'm pretty sure most of them are fairly reasonable. I know Endcap is super cheap.
Yeah, the cost of this one is 150 ultimate, which isn't too bad.
Yeah, that's crazy. And with all the ultimate, the ultimate regen that they provide themselves, you're going to be popping ultimates off cooldown almost.
Yeah, I know. So the synergy of this, an ally can target an enemy and activate the Soul Leech. Oh, no, we covered that. You're getting dealing 10,000 magic damage and you're healing for the damage caused. Soul Tether, the new effect of this is it's going to deal additional damage over time, and it heals you for the damage caused, just like the first one. So, ravaged enemies are tethered to you for 8 seconds, While they remain within 10 meters of you, you siphon 1,914 health from them every 1 second. So you're just robbing their health if they're within that 10-meter range. An ally can target a ravaged enemy and activate the Soul Leech synergy, dealing 9,000 damage to the enemy. Magic damage, that is. And it's also going to heal you for the damage caused. That pretty much covers all the ultimates. I'm going to let Mission, what do you have to say about all the active abilities?
There's good ones in here. There is, the Nightblade has a lot of good abilities, and I'm just going to start at the top and work my way down. The first one being Assassin's Blade, which I'm going to cover the base morph, and then as Jay Rum stated earlier, we're just going over the Magicka versions of these. We will get to the Stam versions on another episode. So Assassin's Blade is the base morph. Now this is your XQ. And it is thrust a magic blade with lethal precision to stab an enemy dealing 410 magic damage, and then it deals 300% more damage to targets at or below 25% of your execute range. This is going to be where when you're in a trial or in a dungeon and everybody starts yelling, execute, execute, execute. This is going to be what you're going to be spamming as this Assassin's Blade.
Oh, yeah.
Now, the magic morph to this is Impale, and the new ability of this is it allows you to use the ability at range, and it jumps the range up to 25 meters, which is huge.
Yeah, that is a really nice execute. It's like it almost reminds me of Endless Fury from the Magsork, how it's like,
yeah, exactly.
It's such a long-ranged execute. It's really, really nice.
Yeah, you can run, but you can't hide from this blade. The next ability we're going into is Teleport Strike. Flash through the shadows and ambush an enemy, dealing 535 magic damage and afflicting them with minor vulnerability for 8 seconds, increasing their damage taken by 8%. This is probably one of my favorite abilities from the Nightblade because it is so fun to use. Your character literally just disappears and reappears. And it's an awesome looking ability. The morph for the magic side of things is called Lotus Fan, and the new ability that basically provides you is it snares the target for longer instead of stunning them, and deals additional damage over time to the target and nearby enemies. So it's one of those, it's almost like your gap closer, really.
Oh yeah, definitely.
Because you can, the range is 22 meters, so anywhere within 22 meters, you can Teleport Strike or Lotus Fan these enemies. Next ability we're going to move on to is Blur. Surround yourself in a phantasmic aura to gain major evasion, increasing your dodge chance by 25% for 26 seconds. Which I think they changed that, right? Isn't it now, it reduces AoE damage?
Yes.
Because they changed that major evasion altogether. So this, I'm pretty sure, I'm like 99% sure that now it just decreases the amount of AoE damage that you take. The magic version, which happens to be both morphs, there is no Stam version of this ability. You have Mirage, which also grants minor resolve and minor ward for the duration, increasing your physical and spell resistance. And then Double Take also grants major expedition for a short period after activation, increasing your movement speed. The next ability we're going to go to is Mark Target. Expose an enemy's weakness to afflict them with major fracture and major breach. This is huge, as Donald Trump would say.
It's huge.
It's huge. You hit them with this marked target, and they now have major fracture and major breach on them. So they're going to take significantly more damage from you. And not only that, but when a marked enemy dies, you heal yourself for 40% of your max health. Great, great, great ability. We got two morphs, again, our magic, Piercing Mark and Reaping Mark. Piercing Mark adds ability has increased duration, and you can see the target if they use stealth or invisibility. So Nightblade v Nightblade, mark them up. That way they can't get away from you.
Yeah.
Reaping mark. If the marked target dies, you heal for more and gain major berserk, increasing your damage done. So that's also a good one too. That'd be a coin toss there, which one you'd want to go with. Grim focus. Focus your senses for 20 seconds, reducing your damage taken by 2% with every light or heavy attack up to 5 times. While active, hitting an enemy with 5 light attacks or heavy attacks changes this ability into Assassin's Will, allowing you to fire a single shot from a spectral bow at an enemy to deal 1,479 magic damage and healing for 33% of the damage dealt. So we have 2 morphs. And we're going to cover Merciless Resolve, which is the magic version. Focus your senses for 20 seconds, all the same. So what this does, the magic version, the spectral bow deals more damage and heals for more. So now instead of doing the original 1479 magic damage, it's now buffed up to 1594 and heals you now for 50% of the damage dealt,
right,
which is amazing.
Yeah, and these numbers, like the damage that it deals and stuff, they will vary based on your inventory, based on your equipment that you have and your champion points. So the damage done is, it might be a little bit different for you, but and also the 50% heal may be different because you might have more health than someone else.
Yeah, exactly. When anything's based off of your max health, generally the higher your health is, you're going to get a massive heal.
Yep.
So we'll move on to the shadow skill line. As soon as I get it to pull up properly. Okay. So we have Veil of Blades. Yes. Nope. Sorry. Veiled Strike. Wrong one. Veiled Strike. Slash an enemy dealing 822 magic damage. Attacking with Veiled Strike while sneaking or in viz stuns the enemy for 3 seconds and sets them off balance. Which J-Room should know all about off balance.
Oh yeah. My main is a mag sword, so the mag sword uses off balance all the time. And pair that with lightning for the concussion status effect. Oh man, that's super nice with the mag sword, but that's
absolutely
that's for another episode there.
And for those of you that don't know, when an enemy is off balance, you'll see a white, just like almost like a dizzying circle around their head, and that's how you know they're off balance.
That's
so we'll get into the magic more for this.
That's when you nail them with a heavy attack, and you'll do
yeah.
Your heavy attacks will do 70% more damage to off-balance targets.
And you regain so much resources when you do that.
Yep, exactly.
So, the magic morph of Veil Strike is Concealed Weapon. Slash an enemy, dealing 822 magic and damage. So, we're all the same there. While slotted, your movement speed in stealth or invis is increased. So, it's not a... it's an okay morph for magic version. We'll move on to Shadow Cloak. That is your invisibility. Cloak yourself in the shadow to become invisible for 3 seconds. Now, both these are magic morphs. Shadowy Disguise guarantees a critical strike on your next attack, and Dark Cloak heals you and grants reduced damage taken instead of invisibility. So, I don't know. I've seen people run both. Me personally, because it's Nightblade, I love going invis. I mean, whoever's playing the Nightblade, who doesn't like to go invis?
Right. Shadowy Disguise is super nice. And with passive that it increases by 100%, you're staying invis for 3 seconds. So
yep.
that's a pretty long time.
And as a magic character, since both morphs are magicka-based, if you have a large magicka pool, you can stay invis for a long time.
Oh, yeah. And if your magicka recovery is high, like... When I made a indefinite invis character with about 2,200 magicka recovery, and I was able to stay invisible indefinitely.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
Moving on to Path of Darkness. create a corridor of shadows, granting you and allies in area major expedition, increasing your movement speed by 30%, and the effect persists for 4 seconds after leaving the path. Now, again, both of these are magic morphs. So Twisting Path, it actually adds an extra little bit to it, where it deals 163 magic damage to enemies in the target area for one or every 1 second. And then Path affects a larger conal area and deals more damage. Basically, that's reiterating what they already put on there. And then Refreshing Path heals 163 health to you and your allies in the area every 1 second. And so the heal isn't that great. The damage, it doesn't sound that great, but like J-Rum did point out, all this stuff is based. I'm reading this stuff off of the UESP, so this is based off of wearing no gear. This is just straight up the tooltip of what this ability does. So I know 163 magic damage, you hear that and you're like, why would anybody ever run that that deals no damage whatsoever? This isn't with your sets on. You know, right. You don't have 2 5 pieces. You don't have your monster set on. This is just flat what it does.
Right. No attribute points put in or anything like that.
Yeah. The next ability we're going to go on to is Aspect of Terror. Summon Dark Spirit to terrify up to 3 enemies, causing them to flee in fear for 2 seconds. Now, this did change. The fear for the Nightblade no longer makes them run away, but instead it locks them in place. And I think if I'm correct, you can now fear 6 enemies. Is that correct?
Yes. Yep.
Yeah, okay. And actually, since this portion... Since I know the fear portion of it has been changed pretty drastically, I'll let J-Rum cover this because he's actually in game right now on his Nightblade. Can you do that, J-Rum?
Yep. So both of these morphs of Aspect of Terror, they are both Magicka morphs. So the Mass Hysteria, the first morph, Mass Hysteria, summon a dark spirit to terrify up to 6 enemies, causing them to cower in fear for 4 seconds. Just like Mission just said, it's going to lock them in place. That's what it means by cower in fear for 4 seconds. And they're not going to run away. They're going to be locked up in place. And this is one of the best stuns, one of the best hard CCs in the game. Because you're stunning up to 6 enemies at the same time. The next morph is Manifestation of Terror. This conceal 2 sinister traps, one at the targeted location and another next to you, which takes 2 seconds to arm, which I'm not a huge fan of, but it lasts for 32 seconds. So that's a super long time.
I'm with you on that. I'm not crazy about that ability either.
Yeah. When each trap is triggered, a dark spirit is summoned to terrify up to 6 enemies again, causing them to cower in fear for 4 seconds. So it's basically like a mine that you'll throw down, or a trap that you'll throw down, and if they nail that trap, whoever is in that area is getting feared for 4 seconds.
The next ability is Summon Shade. This is actually, I built a PvP, a Bobo PvP Nightblade, Standblade a while back, and Summon Shade was my most utilized ability. Summon a shade version of yourself to attack an enemy and fight by your side for 15 seconds. The shade's attacks deal 238 magic damage and afflict the enemy with minor maim, reducing their damage taken by 15% for 4 seconds. The two morphs are Dark Shades and Shadow Image. Dark Shade, the Shade's attack, which deals now 279 magic damage, and occasionally whirlwinds all enemies around it, dealing 279 magic damage as well. Same thing, it still applies Minor Maim. And then this one, while the Shade is summoned, you can activate this ability again to teleport to the Shade's location. So, say you're running just feeding for your life, trying to get away from somebody, place that shade down, keep running, and then what I used to do is I would let them actually catch up to me, and then I'd hit that ability again, which would teleport me back, go invis, get out of town.
Yep.
The other morph, Shadow Image, the shade's attacks deal less damage, 205 magic damage and inflict minor maim again. This one is the same deal where you can resummon it and you'll be teleported back to the Shade's location. This ability scales with your highest offensive stats. So that, I always use Shadowy Image, but to each their own. Moving on to those are the passives. We already went over those. Okay, so we need to move on to the next ability skill lines here, which is the siphoning skills. J-Rum covered your ultimates for you, so we're going to jump right into Strife. Steal an enemy's life force, dealing 369 magic damage, and healing you or nearby ally for 50% of the damage inflicted every 2 seconds for 10 seconds. Now, your two morphs are Funnel Health and Swallow Soul. Funnel Health heals two targets instead of one. Swallow Soul drastically increases damage. Heal is decreased and only targets self. And then we have Malevolent Offering.
Malevolent.
Which, whatever. Malevolent Offering.
There we go.
Sacrifice your essence, healing an ally in front of you for 1232 health, but draining 567 of your own health over 8 seconds. We have two morphs, Healthy Offering, Shred Offering. Healthy Offering increases your healing done for the duration, so it bumps your healing done up to 8%. And then the Shrewd Offering reduces the cost. So it was at 567 health that it charges you. Now it's dropped down to 459. Cripple is the next ability. This is part of the rotation that we'll get into later. Sap an enemy's agility and bolster your own, dealing 1410 magic damage over 10 seconds and reducing their movement speed by 30% for 4 seconds. Your two morphs are Debilitate and Crippling Grasp. Debilitate increases the snare potency and applies minor magic steal to enemies hit, so you will steal 300 magicka every 1 second when damaging them. Crippling Grasp deals additional damage and immobilizes when initially applied. So it deals 1410 magic damage over 10 seconds, immobilizing them for 2 seconds and reducing their movement speed by 30% for 4 seconds.
So if you're for a soft CC within the Nightblade, there you go. There's your soft CC.
Yep, that is a soft CC. But I will let you all know this. This is a conal targeted ability. Basically, you have to target something to cast this.
Right. And the range is 28 meters, so you got a hell of a range on it, too.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, for sure. Jumping into Siphoning Strikes, imbue your weapons with soul-stealing power, causing your light and heavy attacks to restore 1438 health for 20 seconds. Fully charged heavy attacks will restore twice the value. Now, the magic morph of this is Siphoning Attacks, and the new ability that it does is restore the magicka via light and heavy attacks and when the ability ends. So you restore up to 4,270 additional magicka when the effect ends based on the time this ability is active. And then I believe our last ability here is Drain Power. Siphon the vigor from your enemy's blood, dealing 615 magic damage to all nearby enemies. If an enemy is hit, you gain major sorcery, increasing spell damage by 20% for 20 seconds. So there's your major sorcery, Nightblades.
Yep.
Our magic morph here is Sap Essence. The new ability, actually, I think it actually does. Nope, same damage. The new ability also heals you and your allies and grants you major sorcery, increasing your spell damage. So, I don't know why they reiterated the major sorcery, but that is there. It heals you and your allies for 205 plus 20% for each enemy hit. So, that is all of the Magicka Nightblade's abilities and passives. Anything you'd like to add or complain about, J-Rum?
No, you guys might have noticed that we were really kind of pointing out your buffs, your minor sorcery, your minor savagery, your major sorcery. Just make sure you get all your buffs. However you get them, make sure you guys utilize all those buffs to get the most out of what you can do.
Absolutely, and keep in mind, anything that's major and minor can stack. So For example, now that we're in Elsewhere, your necromancers put down major vulnerability. Well, the Nightblade has its own source of minor vulnerability. So that's, those go hand in hand.
Yep, exactly. Now we're going to move on to builds and rotations.
All right, let's get into this. Magicka Nightblade build. Same, I mean, pretty much every Magicka character's got the same build. You're going to want to run, if you're just getting started, you're just hitting CD160, go ahead and run Julianos and Mother Sorrow. If you do some PvP or if you got the gold, you can also run Spell Strat as well. Move on up to Burning Spell Weave, which drops out of City of Ash 1 and 2. And that's a really good set. Even with the meta builds out there, Burning Spell Weave is a close second. But if you're going for the meta top tier best in slot build, you want Sororias. Sororias comes about a Cloud Rest, and you'll run Sororias paired with, again, Mother Sorrow or Spell Strat. Now, me personally, I like running 7 pieces of whatever character I'm on. If I'm on a Stam character, I like running 7 pieces of medium. Same thing with Magicka characters. I like running 7 pieces of light. And what I mean by 7 pieces is you have your 5 piece, obviously, of your body, whether that be Sororias, whatever you're running. And then I also make my monster set that same weight. That gets you the most out of the light armor passive that you can get.
By that you mean medium.
No, I'm both light and medium. Oh, right. Yeah. It gets you the most out of your light armor passives, and it gets you the most out of your medium armor passives. And same with the heavy armor passives for tanks.
Yep, exactly.
Going into the rotation of the Nightblade, it's a little more dynamic. It's not impossible, but it is a little bit of a rougher rotation. And we'll just go right into it. So you want to start your rotation out by buffing up. I like taking my spell power pots and letting them cool down to about 20 seconds on the 3 mil dummy. So you pop your potion, get your, Grim Focus and Leeching Strikes up, and then you go right into it. So you want to start off Light Attack, Crippling Grasp, Light Attack, Bar Swap, Elemental Blockade, Light Attack, Twisting Path, Light Attack, Bar Swap. And then you want to do 5 elemental weapons with light attacks in between each one. Now this will get your spectral bow to proc. And we're going to count this just like you count crystal frags. So if you do elemental weapon, spectral bow, that's 3. Elemental weapon, spectral bow, that's 5. And then you do a light attack, crippling grasp, start over. The ultimates, me personally, I like running Meteor or Destro on my front bar. And then Soul Harvest. Soul Harvest is another great ultimate because I believe both Incap and Soul Harvest, once you use them, the next ability that you use for certain seconds of using it, that ability is buffed. And that's basically the Nightblade. It's nothing too crazy. And again, this is just a basic rotation. You can dive and dig a little deeper and find more rotations that might better suit your playstyle. With the bar setup, set it up how you're comfortable with setting up the bars.
Yeah, and just fart around with it a little bit.
Anything to add, J-Rum?
I was just going to say, just fart around with it a little bit. Find what works out best with you. You don't have to follow any particular build or anything. You can make your own kind of thing.
Absolutely.
That's what this game's all about. It's your game. You play it however you want to play it.
Exactly. And that's pretty much it for this week for the Nightblade. We're going to go ahead and move on to our dungeon, which is Fungal Grotto 2. Real quick, the bosses are Mephala's Fang, Serenus the Shepherd, Regar Dark Dawn, Gammon Bandu, Spawn of Mephala, and Villa Theron. I can never pronounce this. Theron or Theron, however you see fit. So we'll start off with Mephala's Fang it's nothing special. It's a giant spider. It's tank and spank kind of boss. Just pull the adds in, aggro the boss, dump your AoEs and nuke him. Serenus the Shepherd, this one here, I see a lot of people struggle with her because she has 3 spider adds and everybody tries to kill him. If you kill those spiders, it's going to take you forever to kill her because it's ridiculous. If you kill all three spiders, you're only going to be doing between 200 and 500 damage to the boss, no matter what your DPS is.
Right.
So it takes a really long time. So the best, for me anyways, the best way that we do this is we actually have a tank aggro the spiders and pull them away from Serena's. And then we just, even if she moves around and whatnot, we nuke her. Or if you wanted to, you could even have a healer or have one of the DPS throw inner fire on their bar and they could actually aggro themselves. The next boss is Gammon Bandu. This is probably, in my opinion, from what I've seen, this is probably the hardest boss for people to get through, because he has this mechanic where he summons four shades, and they chain you to the ground, and there's going to be a mystical, like, magical sword coming down to your chest, and the DPS has to kill one of those shades to break the bond and get you up. Now, the thing that I've noticed that people do is, it's mainly with beginner players, which is fine because obviously they don't know, but you want to focus one shade, not two separate shades, or, you know, try to kill all of them. You just need to kill one. That's the hardest mechanic about this boss. For the most part, just getting through that, the tank just keeps his aggro and move on to spawn a Mafala. This one here, she has a cave in the background, and she will suck people in at random. And when you go back there, you have to kill spiders in order to get out. Now there is a trick to this. If you're not comfortable, if you're a lower DPS or you're a lower level, or you're just not comfortable or confident in your own playstyle yet, have somebody like the other DPS, if they are a more confident, comfortable player, have them stand back by the cave and then have the tank aggro the spawn of Mafala up towards the bridge you guys cross to get there. And then that way, the closest person to the cave will get sucked in, and that'll avoid any kind of frustrations or letdowns. And then Rhaegar Darkdawn, this guy, he does a Magicka Steal ability, and he will drain all of your magic. So for healers and for magic casters, this is kind of an annoying fight. It's not a hard fight, but it is an annoying fight. And the best way that we do it anyways is, we have the tank, when you walk into where he's at, you're on top of a set of stairs, and we have the tank actually aggro from the top of those stairs, do a range taunt, pull him to the top of the stairs, we stack him on those stairs, and we just burn him on top of the stairs. And what that does is that defeats having to face all the adds that are in the room, because the tank just aggroes him, pulls him up to the stairs, burn him at the stairs, and grab your husk, which is on the floor, just run right through the middle of the room, you grab your husk, and beat feet and get on out of there. Last boss is Villa Theron.
Perfect.
Or Theron Theron. She has two big mechanics in here that will mess you up. And the first one is when she first comes in, she does this teleporting thing where she puts a black AoE, and it's a growing AoE, on the ground, and they get pretty big. And you'll notice that each player will have an AoE underneath their feet until they move. And what that does, that will kill you pretty quickly if you stay in it. The tank, you'll be fine. As long as you know how to self-sustain, self-heal through that stuff, you can live through it. But DPS and healers, not a chance.
No
the way. Other thing is, they have, or she has a, I don't even know what to call it really. It's almost like a health steal type thing. But it's a mystical strand that she attaches to everybody and just sucks the life right out of you. Now my tip for this boss is, which it's hard to do if you're in a pug group, because everybody likes to do their own thing when they're pugging.
Yeah, but sometimes pugs don't even use comms, so.
Oh yeah, exactly. Sometimes you're in there with somebody not even wearing a headset. But if you get everybody on board, when she does her teleporting, if you just tell everybody to either stack on each other or just don't move, that will keep the AoEs from spreading all over the board, because the AoEs grow underneath of where you're currently standing. So that'll keep all of them in place, and it's a lot easier to manage and get away from them when they're all in one place. Now, with the hard mode for this, all you have to do is when the fight starts, you'll see a bubble on the Way Shrine that's inside there. All you have to do to get the hard mode on this is do not go in that bubble. That's all you gotta do. Just stay out of that bubble. The healer should be able to heal you through the damage that she does. If you're not comfortable with the healer or you don't know the healer, I would recommend putting a heal on your bar going into that fight so that you can get the hard mode done. It's not a super hard mode, but if the healer is a little lacking or you don't have your own heals on your bar, it can kill you when it goes into that phase. Now, once you finally get her finished and you kill her, you get your monster helm, and that is the spawn of Mephala monster helm. The one piece adds 1096 magic stam, and the two item set, when you deal damage with a fully charged heavy attack, you create a web for 10 seconds that deals 1100 poison damage every 1 second to all enemies within 4 meters and reduces their movement speed by 50%. Now, this effect can occur once every 10 seconds. So it's a decent little monster set. Nothing crazy. Nothing that you'd want to wear in your quote-unquote best-in-slot build. But right. It is a fun monster set to just play around with.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Yeah. All of these monster sets, in my opinion, there's no bad monster sets in this game. They're all fun in their own way.
Yep,
you just gotta find the way they're fun.
Some are just better than others, just like how Jib says.
Yeah. Exactly. Some of them are better than other sets. And that is that's all we got for you guys this week. You can find me at twitch.tv/brumberg. You can find me also at missionxxmaniac on Twitter. We have a guild, Molag's Mercenaries, and that is Xbox NA, and missionxxmaniac is my gamer tag. And you can now also follow us on Twitter, which is the Brothers of Tamriel podcast. The handle is at Brothers of C. I don't know why, but that's just the generated name they gave us. And lastly, we want to hear from you guys, so we've set up an email. Brothers of Tamriel podcast at gmail.com. Send us your complaints, questions, compliments, whatever.
Yeah,
whatever you want to send us.
All the feedback. We want to hear from you guys.
Absolutely.
If you guys like something, don't like something, want to hear something, let's just shoot us an email. We're going to do our best to return every email that we get in there. So nobody's going to be left out of this. So
absolutely. We don't care if it's criticism or compliments, whatever, or insults, compliments, criticism. We don't care what it is. We just want your feedback. J-Rum, where can they find you at, my brother?
Well, they can find me. I'm over at Twitch at twitch.tv/J-Rumberg. That's J-R-U-M-B-U-R-G, just like B-Rumberg, R-U-M-B-U-R-G. They can find me at Twitter. My personal Twitter is at Jeff Another Shot. Again, you guys can find the podcast Twitter at Brothers of C. That is the Brothers of Tamriel podcast. And you can find me in Xbox in game. My gamer tag is J Rumberg. I'm pretty much J Rumberg everywhere you look. You guys can find me on.
He's very easy to find.
Yeah, I'm pretty easy to find. You can also find me on Facebook. I'm at Jeff Rumberg. If you guys want to, I always post when I'm going live and stuff up there. If you guys want the latest information and stuff, like Mission said, we do have we run a guild. We are the two guild masters of the guild. So just get a hold of either one of us. And if you guys are looking for a nice, fun community with some veteran players, go ahead and hop in. We're open to take anybody. We'll walk you through step by step on if you guys are some beginner players. We'll get you all the gear you need. We'll get you set up for success. So,
absolutely.
Yeah, that's pretty much where they can find me and us.
where can they find the podcast?
The podcast is at Twitter. It's on Twitter at Brothers of C.
No, no, they listen to the podcast.
Oh, okay, yeah. We're on Spotify. We're now on Google Play. We're pending to get on Apple Podcasts. We'll be on there shortly. And I hope so. Just waiting on that notification. And you can also find us on what is it? Radio Music.
Radio Public, I believe.
Radio Public, right? Yep. So you guys can find us. We're gonna try and get on all the free platforms. It's just a little bit of a process to get uploaded to those things. So we got to get approval and stuff like that. But yep, you're gonna find us everywhere. We're gonna be Brothers of Tamriel pretty much everywhere you look on the podcast platforms. So. Give us, if you guys like what you hear, go ahead and tell a friend about us, you know, and we need your support through this whole venture, and we want to hear from you guys. So again, we want to hear your feedback, and we will be featuring some emails and stuff on the show. So if you guys got some feedback for us and want to be involved on the show, we will feature you on the show.
Absolutely. We not only do we accept your guys' love, but we will share it as well.
Exactly. Other than that, I think that about wraps it up for this episode. What do you think, Mission?
I think so.
All right, guys. Well, thanks for sticking around with us. Thanks for listening, and hopefully you enjoyed. And you guys have safe travels and happy hunting out there. We'll hear from you guys next time.